Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You know what time it is. Every night at 9, we talk to Phillies. It is a Clearwater check-in. Jack Fritz, I know he's not in Clearwater because he just was in the studio at some point in the last hour walking around. So he's here in Philadelphia, and he's with us right now as Jack has his second weekly spot here as part of the Clearwater check-in. Jack, how do you feel coming back for a second time?
Well, you know, the first time I was definitely a little nervous talking to my hero, Joe Giglio, but this time I feel pretty confident. And even though I'm not in Clearwater, I mean, it kind of felt like Clearwater out today.
It did feel like Clearwater, and we are going to cut the audio of me being your hero, so we're going to have that for a while now. All right,
Jack,
before we get to the Philly stuff with the team and 3 weeks away from the opener, you and James Seltzer had a special guest on the latest High Hopes podcast. Did I hear Mickey Moniak?
Yeah, that's right. The hottest hitter on the planet, Mickey Moniak, joined us on the podcast tonight. I asked him if he felt like he had an unfair advantage, given that he was hitting beach balls rather than regular baseballs. So, yeah, he acknowledged that there's a lot of pressure being a Fritz guy, Joe. I mean, you and I both know that there's a lot of added pressure with being a Fritz guy. Guys like Nick Pivetta couldn't handle it. But it seems like Mickey Moniak is ready for the challenge.
So it's interesting. I imagine this didn't come up, but it's amazing to watch how he's changed. Because I interviewed Mickey Moniak, Jack, when he was at Lakewood. I went out there to interview him. He was 18 years old on what I will call the OG Phillies podcast at WIP, which I then moved on to different things. And you and James became a great Phillies podcast. But I had him on, and he was 18, and he was skinny like me, maybe not that much bigger, which I was like, man, this guy's really small.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, it felt like a problem, and he hadn't really hit much for 4 years. He just looks and sounds, and I didn't get to hear your interview yet, but he looks and he sounds, when I heard him a couple days ago talking, just like a grown-up now. He sounds like he's close to being a big leaguer, and he's certainly playing like it. It feels like Joe Girardi is impressed by him.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because his first professional game, he was weighing 168 pounds, and now he weighs 205 pounds. He added 10 pounds from just his offseason, and he went from 195 to 205. And you're right, like, he just looks more comfortable. He credited a lot to him kind of starting to figure it out, to Joe Dillon and Jason Ochart. But Joe Dillon, a guy that kind of got him back to what he was in high school, which was, not thinking home runs, not thinking exit velocity, not thinking power, but just trying to hit balls into the gaps and thinking left center field and just spraying the ball all over the ball yard. You know, when he was drafted, I mean, Moniak was a guy that had a plus hit tool that could drive the ball to the gaps, and you kind of believed in the power. And now he's starting to kind of put that together. He's starting to put that together down in Clearwater. I mean, his hard hit rate is like 44% right now, and it's in his other at bats. There's two other at bats where he's only like 0.8 and 1.2 miles per hour off of his hard hit rate being over 66% down in Clearwater. So he's putting the barrel to the baseball. He looks more comfortable. He looks stronger. The bat looks fast, and I don't know. Like, no one's really running with that center field job, and I mean, why not Mickey Moniak?
You know, if it doesn't, and Jack Fritz is joining us here, if it doesn't happen on day one, on opening day, because I know Joe said the other day that, like, kind of like Bohm last year, when they brought him up, they wanted to be sure he'd play. But if it doesn't happen opening day, it's probably going to happen this year. Like, what I'm convinced of now is Mickey Moniak is going to play for the 2021 Phillies. If not opening day, whatever. Like, but we might see him. He might be a guy that plays, I don't know, 75, 80 games. Like, he might be a part of this team. And I didn't think that before spring training started.
Well, and here's what drives me crazy in the discussion around Mickey. Like, the guy's only 22 years old. I mean, you're telling me that he can't develop into a good major league player? I mean, 22 is so young, given how skinny he was. He's kind of just coming into himself. And really, towards the end of last year, I was pretty impressed with his at-bats, you know. Down the minor leagues, the main problem with him was that his pitch recognition wasn't great, couldn't see spin, didn't really work many walks, but I thought when he came up last year, I actually thought his at-bats were pretty good, and he was facing some legit pitchers. I mean, Seth Lugo was the first guy he faced, and then it was like Jerry Familia and Edwin Diaz, and I thought he put together pretty competitive at-bats. So I was impressed with his pitch recognition, and really, like, I think he's just starting to come into his own now, and I don't see any reason why he can't be a solid big league contributor, you know, coming up here soon. I mean, is he going to live up to being the number one overall pick? No. I mean, it's just not going to happen. That class is kind of unfair to judge him against. It wasn't a great class. But I think the Phillies have a starting center field caliber guy in Mickey Moniak. And honestly, him being the starting center fielder this year would be a really good outcome for this team. You get the number one overall pick to play center field. I mean, that's not the worst outcome in the world when you came into the year with huge question marks at center field.
All right, before we talk about the bullpen, let me throw this quick question at you. If this happens, if Moniak becomes a good major leaguer, Alec Bohm's already here. We know how good he could be. Connor Brogdon looks like he's going to be part of this bullpen and maybe a really big part. And Spencer Howard is showing better velocity and just looks more like a guy so far in spring training. Jack, are you ready for the were we too mean and not fair enough to Matt Klentak show at some point on one of our shows or podcasts? Because if those four guys work out, that show is going to happen.
I'm sure not ready for that conversation, Joe. I'm sure not.
Nobody is.
But and ultimately, you know, it goes on Johnny Alvarez. He was the scouting director at that point. I don't know how much credit you can really give to Matt Klentak. No, but yeah, it would be a pretty impressive turnaround, and maybe we'll look back at Matt Klentak a lot how he looked back at Ed Wade.
Well, that would mean they won something, so that would be great. All right, the bullpen, Jack. Give me one guy you are over-the-top excited about and one guy that's been, just all right, and maybe you're not as excited about, because they have to make some decisions here. They're not going to be able to take all these guys, and they're going to have to decide between non-roster guys and clearing up a spot, and someone's going to get sent, either be gone from here or sent back to AAA that you might say is, you know, pretty talented.
Legitimately, Joe, there's a chance that the guy that they decided to move on from would have been like the second best option in the bullpen last year. Like, that's kind of what we're talking about. I'm excited about a lot of guys, but I guess the guy I'm most excited about is Jose Alvarado. I mean, he looks like he's back to what he was at Tampa Bay. I mean, we've already seen it up to 100 miles an hour, turbo sinker. And really, he looks healthy. He talked a lot the other day about, I guess when the pandemic started, he added like 15 pounds just because he wasn't working out and he was eating. And then he came back to Rays camp out of shape. And subsequently, it caused him to have shoulder issues. So he looks back to being the guy that we saw on Tampa Bay. And the fact that they traded Garrett Clevenger for him, who was older than Jose Alvarado without making the major leagues or just getting a cup of coffee in the major leagues, is crazy good value. And he looks like he's back to being the guy that we saw in Tampa. So I couldn't be more fired up about Jose Alvarado. And really, I couldn't be more fired up about the back of the bullpen of Alvarado, Neris, Brogdon, and Archie Bradley. I mean, those are four guys that on a night-in, night-out basis should be able to finish out ball games for you towards the end of games. And I'll tell you this, the guy who I'm actually concerned about is Archie Bradley. And I'll
Whoa,
say this.
Whoa, Archie Bradley after his great appearance with Angelo yesterday? I'm surprised.
I know, and he was so good with Angelo, and I think he would be such a great fit for the city. But just in watching him so far, the fastball is concerning me.
It dropped in velocity last year before he came here.
It did drop in velocity last year, but even in watching the tape of him in Cincinnati, it was 94, but it still had a little bit of rise to it, had a little bit of giddy up to it. And the fastball I've seen down in Clearwater, it just doesn't look like it has the same giddy up on it. It's still 93, 94. But it doesn't look like it has the same zip to it. Now, luckily for him, his curveball is still nasty. Still looks like it has a ton of spin on it. So But it's something to monitor, I'll say. I'm not going to press the panic button, but Archie Bradley's fastball is definitely worrying me a little bit.
All right, last one for you. Jack Fritz joining us on Clearwater Check-In. To give the people an old-school feel to this segment, I feel like back in the day we talked more about guys the Phillies could get rather than guys they already had. So what did you make of the rumor yesterday? John Heyman, MLB Network, threw out the idea the Phillies are going to be, he thinks, one of three teams really involved in the shortstop market, actually, the great shortstop market. He mentioned the Rangers, the Giants, and both those teams make sense. And then the Phillies, which I didn't expect because we know they gave Didi 2 years. They have Stott as a former first-round pick. What did you make of that? And obviously, I mean, the class next year is unbelievable. It's Correa, it's Seager, Story, Lindor. I mean, it's an unbelievable, and Baez, unbelievable class of shortstops. What did you make of Heyman?
Yeah, it was really surprising to me because I was with you. When they re-signed Didi, I was like, okay, that takes him out of the shortstop market, and then Stott kind of takes over from there, and you hope he's good enough, and you hope that they're ready to roll. You know, the Giants, like the thing is, none of those teams really make sense. I think the Mets will re-sign Lindor. He'll be off the table. I feel like the Cubs will re-sign Baez. The Rangers are going to get one of those guys, and I think it's Trevor Story. I think Trevor Story returns home. And he becomes, you know, the face of the Texas Rangers. So, and then with the Giants, they have that stud shortstop prospect that's like the next Tatis. So that doesn't really make any sense to me. The thing with the Phillies is I just don't think that they have the financial capability to really do it. Like, are they really going to have four guys making over $100 million and two guys making over $200 million when you're talking about this class? Like, that's a lot of money to put on John Middleton's table. So I don't really buy it, but I do think that if one of those guys is there, I feel like Story would be the guy that they would love to go after. But it was definitely surprising. But there was no show that was better at talking themselves into the Phillies adding all kinds of superstars than our show. So it does feel like a throwback. You're right. But I would be absolutely floored if they got one of those guys.
Yeah, I would too, though. It would be fun because they're great players. All right, Jack, we'll talk again next week, 3 weeks from the opener, and the Mickey Moniak podcast is up at the High Hopes feed.
Yes, the Mickey Moniak podcast is up. Hashtag why not Mick. He's our official candidate. He is our official guy for center field for your 2021 Phils.
All right, why not Mick? We'll talk next week. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Jack Fritz, High Hopes podcast. They have Mickey Moniak on. How about that? Mickey Moniak played his first game as professional baseball at 168 pounds. Not really. I mean, it weighs more than I do, but not that much more. As a pro baseball player, that's thin.
I know is he went from 168 to 205 from 18 to 22.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I'm not going to throw a parade for this dude.
You know what? I kind of did too. I'm trying to remember. I think I got to college.
Is that when we got to Fat Joe?
Yeah, I got to college at about 150, 155. I left college about 190, 195. The chunkiest Joe there was? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, congrats on going through your early 20s, Mick.
But I mean, we weren't trying to win the center field job for the Phillies. We were just...
Well, maybe you weren't.
I was drinking and eating. I wasn't winning anything except intramural flag football. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. We'll come back. Your phone calls. I believe the Eagles are a good offseason away from going back to the playoffs. I think all this doom and gloom about where they are, it's like, nah, I don't buy it. And when we got back, I'm going to play something. Jason Kelce was on with Dave Spadaro. The offensive line, everyone's like, oh, it's so bad. They're in trouble there. You got to hear Kelce on the offensive line. He sounds bullish on what they have up front. We'll talk that. And what do you miss about old school sports on Sports Radio 94 WIP?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.